Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We'll keep the Topper conversation going. It's officially Topper Watch on the Midday Show, Hugh.
That's crazy.
As the Phillies are deliberating if he's going to stay the manager. I'd keep him. Kyle and Hugh ready to move on or willing to move on from Rob Thompson.
I mean, see, you make it just sound so bad, Joe.
That's not bad.
It's not. I mean, I'm not. I like Topper. I don't want to move on. I just know how these things work.
I get it. We're scapegoating
him. I'm not. I mean, I'm not scapegoating. The players are.
The players
are the ones that let him down.
And the GM.
The players threw their manager under the bus.
They played like crap, and he might take the fall for it. Back to your phone calls on that in a second, but you know what we have on Sunday? Something we've like not talked about the whole week, which is so bizarre in Philadelphia.
Game day.
We had a football game. Eagles off the bye against the Cleveland Browns, and you may not believe this, but I promise you it is completely factual. I'm on FanDuel right now. The Eagles are not just favorites over a bad Browns
team. They're heavy favorites.
They are the biggest favorite in the NFL this year.
In the world.
This year. I don't believe there's been a double-digit favorite yet in the NFL. They are 9.5-point favorites to beat the Browns on Sunday and to beat them bad. I do wonder if this spread goes up to 10 by kickoff, which would be remarkable considering how the Eagles have played. But, Hugh, before we hear from Jalen Hurts what he said this week, I understand it. I understand why.
Browns got a good defense, though. They still got a good defense.
It's good, not quite as good as last year. This is the Browns' third straight road game. Mm-hmm. The Eagles off a bye. AJ back, Devontae back, Lane back. This should be a smash spot for the Eagles. In fact,
Myles Garrett banged up a little.
He is. In fact,
still
you know
got
what?
Four sacks, though.
You know what I'm Fine willing game. To do right now?
What's that?
And this might be the only time, maybe Carolina, I'll do it in December. I'm guaranteeing an Eagles victory on Sunday. Yeah. This is a guarantee. This is a victory for the Eagles on Sunday. And I'm very willing to say it because if I'm wrong on this, everyone will be mad at the Eagles and not me Monday because this is on them. This should be a lock victory. If they can't beat this version of Deshaun Watson and a team on their third straight road game off their own bye, then this thing is a disaster. I believe the Eagles are going to win this game. In fact, I'll guarantee it. This is a lock win. Hugh, you feel as strongly about this one as I do?
That's nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
What does that mean?
I ain't guaranteeing nothing.
Over the Browns?
Man. See, you about to put me in the bad spot.
I just want to know what you got
to
say.
You about to put me in the bad spot.
I mean, come on.
And I'm stuttering. I'm about to start stuttering. I look at this game, and I listen to what's being said this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me nervous. I'm not going to lie. And I know people are probably like, oh, hell, what is Hugh going to say to mess up my weekend after what the Phillies just did? That's not what I'm trying to do. Just let me say that first and foremost. I think that the Eagles have a chance to win. I'm just not feeling as strongly as you are
a
about
chance?
It.
A chance? They're 9.5-point favorites.
Can I just tell you how my thought process works? And
yes.
I'm pretty sure everybody wants to hear this because they're like, yeah, sure, Hugh. Tell us how that messed up mind yours works. And let me say this first. Because I'm about to go down. Give me a little bit of runway, Joe, because I'm about to long talk just a little
Uh-oh.
Bit. Just a little bit. I'm about to do a little long talk.
Hugh Sirianni over here.
Kyle, stop it. I applaud Jalen for being honest in all of his press conferences. I do it all the time, and I like the fact that he's transparent and all this other stuff. I had a problem with what he said this week. And before anybody gets on me about, well, damn, Hugh, he can't win for losing. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just leery of the messenger because of the way he delivered the message.
Before you go on, let's hear it. Let's hear Jalen Hurts, what he said this week about his week with the bye and his message about Nick Sirianni.
This is probably, I'd say, one of the most efficient bye weeks I've been a part of this year. Where my career, excuse me, just been able to, I said, share those moments and talk through some things and build.
So that was on the bye week. It was efficient. Now let's listen to what he said about Sirianni, the two of them during the bye week. This is, I believe, what he was referencing.
The moments with Nick over the bye week,
What prompted that? It might, you know, somebody might say, okay, it's the bye week. I need to get away. I need to clear my head and then come back fresh. But it sounds like you guys both felt the need to come together and deal with some stuff.
Well, we're the two leaders of the team, you know, and I'm happy and fortunate that, you know, we were able to come together in harmony and have the same goal in mind and trying to get this thing right. I got a ton of confidence in him, a ton of confidence in what he brings and everything he's been able to accomplish, and just continue to press on that, you know. Everybody goes through different moments. Everybody experiences adversity, but we've experienced different levels of adversity together, and we're excited for what's to come.
Now, right, this is where I need somebody to help me out, because this is where I get a little leery of the messenger. And just let me say this, because I think of every press conference that Jalen has had this season. And initially when it started, we started off good. He was saying all the right things, and we were applauding him for saying the right things. And then all of a sudden, as we go and progress through the weeks, pointed things were asked to him, pointed deliveries, and he hedged on a lot of the stuff that he said. A few weeks ago, and this is the one that sticks out to me, when they said, hey, well, what's up with you and when coach? And I'm ad-libbing here. And he said, we have our moments. Mm. And then all of a sudden, a week later, he comes back. And I understand, and I am the proponent of, you know, take a week off and come back and feel good. That just felt a little bit over the top to me. That's all of a sudden. Perfect analogy, toilet seat. All of a sudden, the toilet seat, I put the toilet seat down, and, you know, she's complaining about the toilet seat.
Sure.
And a week later, she comes back and, oh, you're doing a great job of putting the toilet seat down, or just, you know, saying it, just being over top with her applauding me for doing what I'm supposed
to
do.
So your antenna is still up.
Yeah, it's up, because it was just a little bit too much. It was a little bit too much.
I don't disagree with that, and I don't think we're past the Sirianni Hurts nonsense.
I don't think so.
But the Browns stink. Can we agree on that? This team stinks. They can't move the football.
They can't.
They have a quarterback that makes $60 million a year. They can't move the ball. If the Eagles can't beat this team, and by the way, they're on their third straight road game. They're on a end of a road trip.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And the Eagles are off a bye. This is the best schedule spot that I've seen the Eagles have in five years.
And this is where I felt like the easy part of the schedule is coming upon you.
It should be now.
I'm a little leery of the team right now.
As much as the Eagles had a quote-unquote scheduled loss, according to you, Hugh, against the Bucs, this is a Browns scheduled loss.
This is a scheduled Eagles win.
It felt like it felt like that was the case.
Well, it's you could argue every week is a scheduled loss for the Browns when they put Deshaun Watson out there.
Yeah. I don't know, though.
This is a scheduled Eagles win. It is. So you with me, Kyle? Is this a win?
Of course.
This is a lock.
Joe, this is – guys, there is no bigger lock in sports maybe the rest of this year than the Eagles winning this game.
FanDuel watched the Eagles play the first 4 weeks and put them at 9.5 points. What does that say about the Browns?
9.5 points, dog. I'm just saying.
I'm not guaranteeing a cover.
No. I'm not going that
but
far.
But the Eagles will win this game. Like,
who said, did somebody say something about win by 30? Did
win
I hear somebody
40.
Say that? Somebody said that. I am not sleeping. I
drinking
did hear
early
somebody
on
say
a Friday.
Yeah.
To win
yeah,
it by
somebody
30.
Said winning by 30.
Yeah, I'm not expecting that, but I do fully expect an Eagles victory. All right, 215-592-9494. Are you willing to guarantee an Eagles victory in this game on Sunday? I am. I would be floored if the Eagles lost this game. We would have to reevaluate everything we thought about the football team if they can't beat the Browns with that quarterback at home, off a bye.
Bit creepy.
With all their guys healthy. I mean, this is it's as set up as possible for an Eagles victory. We'll throw that in the mix. And, of course, your take on Topper. Do you want him back as the Phillies manager? According to Bob Nightingale, the Phillies are meeting to deliberate their coaching staff, including the future of Rob Thompson. It is Topper watch here. Last time we had Sirianni watch, they made us wait 9 days. So the Phillies going to do the same? They're going to blame a snowstorm for the press conference and all that nonsense?
A heat wave.
Yeah, a heat wave. It's pretty cold this morning.
Yeah.
It's too hot.
Yeah. It's too mild in October. We need 9 days. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Your reaction to all the Topper stuff. Do you want him back? And the Eagles, well, you're willing to guarantee a victory. Your take on the game this coming Sunday. Dan in Marlton. Hey, Dan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You
here.
Got it, Dan. What's up?
Yeah, so to win a championship in sports, your best players need to play well. The Mets players did that. The Phillies players did not.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think in this case, too, you got to be really, really careful about firing someone, especially a guy that, listen, I know it looks bleak right now, but Topper's had a lot of success, and it was a dumpster fire before he got here. And the second thing is you got to make damn sure that the guy that you hire after him is going to be better. There's no guarantee of that, right? And then also I'll defend Dave Dombrowski here just for a second. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I will. You know, if your best players don't play well like the Phillies did, adding another bat at the trade deadline and mortgaging the future to do so wasn't going to change the outcome.
See,
so
Dan,
really,
it
comes down to these best players need to play better.
I hear you, but that feels like a cop-out for a GM. Like, you're right about that, but let's just go to the game on the other night, right? It's a close game. If they had gotten a different player at the deadline, I don't know who, Jesse Winker with the Mets or pick a right-handed bat in the outfield not named Austin Hayes, and that guy hits a home run, the whole game might have changed. I mean, you're right. It does mostly come down to the top of the lineup. It just feels like a cop-out, like a shrug of the shoulders from Dombrowski, like, well, it's on the Stars. Well, you could also improve the bottom of the roster just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly could have, and also with the bullpen as well, because that was a lot of talk at the trade deadline. I mean, their bullpen was doing really, really well, and then their top two guns out of the bullpen just didn't play well. So it comes down to that. But, I mean, again, I think before Dombrowski and before Topper were here, I mean, we kind of got to look at what this was and what it's become. Now, it hasn't gotten over the top, and certainly I think the hitting coach, something needs to change there because they made no adjustments throughout the series. They kept swinging at balls in the dirt, and the Mets kept throwing outside the zone, and nothing changed.
It did not change.
That's really, really concerning for Topper as well.
It is, sure.
That no adjustments were made.
Well, not enough, and obviously not in the biggest moment. Dan, we appreciate the phone call. I am the whole thing about Dombrowski. I understand that we could blame Topper for his usage of the players. It just it smacks me in the face when I think that his two biggest trade deadline acquisitions. One gave up literally the series losing home run. They were probably going to lose anyway. But Estevez came in. They traded two of their best pitching prospects for Carlos Estevez. He was brought into the game to face the Mets' best hitter, and the ball went 375 feet.
Yeah, he threw some heat.
The other big acquisition was Austin Hayes. He was so bad in Game 3.
His tummy was bad, though.
Everything was bad. Those are tummy.
You can't control the
if
tummy.
If I'm Topper and Dombrowski calls me in today and says we're going in a different direction, I smile, nod, and say good luck. I mean, like, seriously,
he had E. coli, though.
Well, he did.
He had E. coli. He had
so we're excusing the Austin Hayes thing because
well,
of E. coli?
I'm just saying. It happened. It did happen. It's just unfortunate the way that it happened. If I'm anything, I'm mad at the guys that Dave Dombrowski believed in could get it done during the trade deadline because that's basically what it was. He looked at the top of that order. He looked at the guys that he had and the way that they were playing, the way that they were swinging the bat, and he said, you know what? I just need to tweak it just a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. That's exactly what happened. Regardless of how we want to talk about Bryce Harper's OPS and all this other stuff, in key moments this postseason, yep. He came up short. Now, you can talk about him having the highest OPS and whatever you want to talk about in baseball during this series, but when we needed Bryce Harper to beat Bryce Harper, he wasn't that guy.
Well, the biggest at-bat of Game 6, he did fail. Yeah. That's Manaea.
And that's the biggest problem. But in a situation like this, you're not going to get rid of Bryce Harper. You're not going to do that. But you have to keep. You have to do something that's going to keep this fan base engaged.
So
that's the unfortunate thing about all of this.
So we're scapegoating Topper.
I mean, basically.
No, well, look, I don't know. I think that's oversimplifying it a little bit. We would all agree there's so much blame to go around all over the place for the Phillies not advancing past the NLDS. Mm-hmm. Dombrowski. The core star players, even Rob Thompson, the bullpen, all of that stuff.
Yeah, but somebody has to take the heat.
So really my question is, what is the benefit to bringing him back next year?
He's the only manager I've seen with this group that's gotten them to play
to
consistently,
point, yeah.
Play their bet. I just wonder if we're approaching this the wrong way. Maybe he's getting the most out of them. He got more
maybe
than
they're
Girardi.
Underachievers.
Well, we keep saying they're underachieving. Are they? Or maybe this is who they are. And he's the only one in 3 years that has gotten them to play at a high level for extended periods. Girardi couldn't. Mm-hmm. And I know when Gabe was here, it was only a small portion of this roster. But he had He had Nola. He had Harper. He had Real Muto. I mean, we thought they were better than that. And then maybe they weren't.
Well, okay, so this is going to sound crazy. When Doc Rivers got here, Not that the Sixers like improved great, like massively. Embiid had an MVP season under Doc. Tyrese Maxey took the next step under, like, there are, like, I don't think Rob Thompson adds like 10, 15 wins to this ball club.
He doesn't. I
know.
No.
Well, so, like, is it not worth a try?
But okay, that's the sense I'm getting. Like, maybe this will work.
Yeah.
Let's try it.
Well, because you're not, because you can't do anything about Harper. You can't do anything about Trey Turner. They're stuck here.
Yeah, they're gonna be here.
They're stuck. So
that's why if I'm Topper, I just say thanks and good luck.
Well,
you're firing me because you don't want to. You don't want it.
I'm happy for Topper.
It feels cosmetic. It feels like the house has got some cracks, and we're like,
okay, but,
you know, let's put a new front door. It'll make it look nice from the outside.
But then again, it's like, how many times are you gonna fall short before you say, well, I have to try something without just staying status quo.
I get it.
Because right now, the Sixers comparisons work.
Because and that we're stuck. Stinks.
I know. But we're in purgatory right now. So it's a matter of, are you okay with that? And you think, well, just stay the course. We'll eventually break through. And that's the Topper mentality.
Yeah.
Or do you take a big freaking swing?
Well, they could. Now, again, my feeling on this at 215-592-9494 would be different if there was that slam dunk. Because the basketball-baseball comparison, I think they're kind of similar. I don't think there's many managers that make a big difference in baseball. There's a handful. Terry Francona's one. Bruce Bochy's one. Alex Cora seems to be one. If one of those guys was available, and, you know, earlier this season, it sounded like Alex Cora was available, but he re-signed in Boston for a lot of money. Terry Francona, well, I don't know if he'd ever come back here anyway. He just went to the Reds. Like, if you give me the guy that's like, wow, this difference-making manager, sure. I'm not married to the idea of Rob Thompson managing this team until he's in his 70s. I just don't think he's the problem. Let's talk to Herb in the Northeast. Hey, Herb.
Herb.
All right, listen, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to speak to you guys because eventually I'm going to talk to Dave Dombrowski.
Eventually.
Well, what are you going to tell him?
I'm going to tell him that, like, what I'm telling some of the stuff I'm going to tell you now.
Okay.
Is what I'm going to talk about. First of all, okay, this team, the lineup that they got, if they're going to bring up some of these guys next year and that, I'm going to have to hit down at the bottom of the lineup. I already know who I want to be hitting. I really want to see some of these kids, the outfielder and Miller. I want to see what they can do in spring training. But, okay, I think they need to go out and sign a couple more players. If they can move somebody, one or two guys, okay, fine. The reason they lost this, okay, is because Topper, and I'm sure Dave Dombrowski is going to talk about this, is why, okay, and I've been harping on this all year about the strike zone, about you guys swinging, okay, the hitting coach needs to go.
Mm.
He ain't done nothing, okay? I got the man that can do it.
Oh, who's that?
But I'll tell you a little after I get done with this.
A little tease there from
all right, what?
Herb.
What? Okay. They lost the game because game one, they had the game one. They had their best pitcher in the game. All he had to do was say, can you give me another inning? I'll put you out there. If you go 1-2-3 or 1-2-3-4, no runs.
He had a lot of pitches, we'll Herb. A lot of pitches. 111.
Hear that. That's, you know what? That's why you're sitting at home today.
Told you.
This was in game five today. Okay? Because we should have won game one and we should have won game two.
Are we get the rocking music today?
I'm not hyping anybody up. I'm just, every time I hype up, nobody understands me. Okay? What I'm trying to tell you is, why did you go get that pitcher from the Angels? He was supposed to have been your closer, eighth or ninth man.
They put him in the biggest moment, and Lindor hit the ball to a different burrow. He stunk.
Why did Remuto call four straight fastballs? You don't do that, man. You got to mix up some pitches. He was right on that. He missed that third one, and then he wound up hitting the next one. That was 99. The other ones were 100, 101. He They blew it, man. You should have.
So who's the new hitting coach, Herb? Who's our new hitting coach?
Curve or slider.
Who do you want to be the
coach? I used to catch, and I ain't giving you no four straight fastballs.
Well, I agree. Well, then we should rip Real Muto for it. Who's the new hitting coach?
Dave Dombrowski needs to have a long talk with Muto, too.
Sure.
Because I've been watching Muto, and he's been calling a lot of fastballs since he got back. Okay.
We could talk with him all. Who's the new hitting coach, Herb?
I got a friend that's been the coach at the Tampa Bay Devil with the Rays. Tampa Rays. Okay.
What's his name?
I've known this guy since 1993. Okay.
What's his name?
He don't want to tell you.
He's all hyped up. His name is on there. He went to University of Tampa. I'm trying to think of his
University
name
of Tampa, and he coached for the Rays. All right.
Call us back when you figure it out.
We'll find that out. Herb, you appreciate the phone call.
Guy you've known since 1993.
I haven't heard Herb get fired up like that.
Herb was mad at you a little bit. He about to bite your head off.
You know what? I have news for you guys. If you think they're going to fire a Topper and find the manager that's going to push Wheeler in game one
good luck
to 125 pitches, you're going to be – you have to go back in time. Go dig up Earl Weaver. Go find a manager that's not alive anymore. Like, what are you guys talking about? We're not going to have – they don't make managers like that anymore. The front office doesn't even let managers do that anymore. 215-592.
Don't mess around and get that manager spree wheel.
Yeah.
Cats don't play that no more. Man, for all y'all don't know what spree wheel is, go look up Latrell spree wheel.
P.J. Carlissimo will never forget. Fingerprints on his neck. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here. All right, we got the Eagles in the mix. Are you expecting and are you willing to guarantee a victory for the Eagles? They're a 9.5-point favorite. Hugh won't even guarantee a victory over here, which tells you all you need to know. Now, I'm guaranteeing this is a lock victory for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. It is the easiest win of the year. And yell at them, not me, if they don't figure it out. Yeah, changes. They could be coming, and they should be coming for the Phillies this offseason. Does that include Topper? I don't want him out. I'd keep Rob Thompson as the manager. Hugh and Kyle are ready to say, see you, Topper.
I'm just saying, I know how this works.
Thanks
I just feel bad. I feel like I'm being a heel, like a heel in wrestling.
What a heel. I'm the face, you're the heel now? We reverse this thing?
Yeah.
I just don't want to not. I think Topper's a good manager, and I'm not willing to move on just to scapegoat Rob Thompson.
That's going to happen.
It probably is. And the Phillies are apparently deliberating and meeting to discuss the future of Rob Thompson, according to Bob Nightingale. 215-592-9494. You're back to your phone calls in a second here on both the Phillies, this Topper situation, and, of course, the Eagles Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Are you willing to guarantee a victory? I am. Kyle is. Hugh, not willing to go there against an awful Browns team.
Gosh, awful team.
They are. We have to hit this. Kind of came out and flew under the radar a little bit yesterday. Tim Kelly of On Patterson. We know Tim. Tim's been with Odyssey before, and he's covered the Phillies for a long time. He got some quotes from Trey Turner after the game, Hugh, a couple nights ago.
What did Trey say?
Well, he asked him about his future of playing the position of shortstop, which obviously is a point of contention here because we've all watched him play shortstop for 2 years, and he's not good at it. He has 40 errors. And you know what? I went and rewatched that play the other night where he flipped the ball to Stott and almost went into right field.
Yeah.
I almost fainted before the show today, how bad that throw was. So here is what Trey said. He was asked if he remains confident.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That his long-term future is at shortstop. Quote, yeah, for sure, Turner said. I feel like early on I was kind of bad again, but I think the second half of the year I really played some good defense. I just felt more confident. I felt better throwing the ball. I felt like I made better decisions. You know, I made a couple errors here and there in the second half, but I just feel like overall I was making plays that I didn't make before, Turner added. Going back to the last year and trying to kind of process what Bobby Dickerson, he's speaking of, the infield coach, was trying to teach me and trying to work on, I think in the second half that was starting to click a little bit. I was starting to be more reactionary, the thinking about what to do in the situation, and whatnot. So this is going to be a big offseason topic. I believe the Phillies should ask him or tell him to change positions and go to the outfield. But Hugh, it doesn't sound like he thinks he needs to move off shortstop.
No, and sometimes the player's the last person to know that they're not that good. And you know, it's funny, the other night, it was a play that was on second base, the base being stolen, where he bobbled the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
And I tweeted that Joe's going to have a lot to say about that. There were some errors that he made in the outfield, and you were talking about that play that he made a couple days earlier where he sailed the ball or something like
Stott
that.
Stott had to jump a foot and a half in the air to get the ball, which should have went to his chest.
Yeah. So, like I said, sometimes the player's the last person to know that they're probably not at trending in the direction that they think they're trending in.
So this morning on the morning show, they were discussing the idea of, you know, would Trey move to the outfield? You know, how would that go? Would they ask? Would they tell? Ruben Amaro, who's been in this spot before, right? He's been a GM. He knows how you have to handle big players, contracts, stars, especially when it's an uncomfortable conversation. Here is what Ruben thought would happen if the Phillies asked Trey to move off short.
They won't approach him and ask him or tell him to move to the outfield.
Why? I don't know that that's true or not.
I will be shocked if they do.
They should talk to the assistant general manager, Bryce Harper, and get him to talk to his buddy.
You're actually right. They should.
I mean, honestly, they may not have the same opinion. They might say, you know what, he's better off at shortstop than anywhere else.
But everybody knows he's the deficient shortstop for
they're
a great
They're not going to do it, though. Ruben's right. They're just not going to do it.
They're not going to do it.
There's no chance.
They're not going to do it.
I don't know that they will or they won't. But I'll
be stunned if they do.
I would be like as surprised as anything that could happen this offseason.
James,
what would be more surprising?
If it makes them a better team, why is it surprising?
What would be more surprising
would be... John, they paid him $300 million.
What would be more surprising to me would... be if he actually moves to left field.
Agree. That's my point. Like, I don't think there's any chance it's happening.
If he would do it, I would be surprised by that because the guy wants to be in. I think he wants to be a Hall of Famer at short. And with his numbers, he's got a chance to be in a Hall of Fame shortstop.
The guy wants. It is telling. The end struck me. It was a good conversation, good back and forth. And there's obviously a lot of things here, too, that are in the mix here.
In play.
Would they ask him? What would his reaction be? Would they ask or tell? Do they think it's time? Do they think he really needs to move off it? Do they think they could squeeze one more year? But the end of it struck me.
The Hall of Fame shortstop.
That Ruben Amaro thinks that if they asked Trey, he wouldn't want to do it because he wants to be a Hall of Fame shortstop.
That's telling.
I got bad news for him. It ain't happening.
But again, we've had conversations about this, Joe, and we know that there are certain individuals that play professional sports right now that feel like they are on the trajectory of Hall of Famers. Now, we might not feel the same way, but that's not on us to make that decision. So I kind of feel rude when he's saying what he's saying.
So I get that. And I expect, Hugh, you were a high-level athlete. High-level athletes have to have confidence in themselves, right?
Yes.
And I'm not going to rip him if he thinks he can be a Hall of Famer. Heck, he's almost a 300 career hitter, and maybe he thinks he could hit for another decade and get 3,000 hits. Wonderful. Keep hitting, and it'd be great for the Phillies. But you got to have some self-awareness. And if the team says we'd be better off this way, you got to do it. I mean, at one point, Alex Rodriguez, who was the best player in baseball, moved off his position because the Yankees had Derek Jeter.
How long ago was that?
That was probably 20 years ago now.
Okay, these athletes are different.
I know, but he was five times the player Trey was, and he moved his position to make the team better.
Okay, let me just put this in perspective for you. We sat there for a whole week and talked about We have to extend at bats. We can't chase pitches.
Yeah.
And what did they do?
Didn't do it.
Okay, so now, with that being said, you know what you got to do, but you don't do it now. With that being said, you want to go back and say, hey, you know what, maybe if it's better for the team and, you know, it might hurt your Hall of Fame, you know, trajectory, we want you to do this. What do you think is going to be said, Joe? You know what he's going to say? To the person that asked him that, whatever he's going to say, I can't repeat on the air. But it's going to be you. It's some colorful language is definitely going to be used. If you ask that man, if he thinks that he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory to change positions when he's on a Hall of Fame run, that dog ain't going to hunt.
Yeah, well, then hard conversations have to happen.
that's not a hard conversation. That's more of like a, hey, could you move? And it's going to start with an F. And it's going to end with a U.
Well, here's my suggestion to the Phillies and Trey and everyone this offseason. If they do have a private conversation about him moving to left field or whatever, center field, and he does say no. And again, we don't know he would say no. Maybe he would say yes. But Ruben's guess is he didn't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
they better keep that under wraps, because if a reporter gets that and that comes out, I'm going to need to take a day off, Kyle, because it's
I'm going
to
lose it.
I will not be able to do it. To sign a $300 million contract and then to say to the team, no, I'm not going to do what you think is best, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, give it up, old man. I mean, everybody has to come to the realization that they're not what they used to be. Hugh had that realization one day. All of us eventually will have that realization one day.
Yeah, until, well, you know, but after actually, and you have to see it.
That ended, right. I mean, but it was too late.
Yeah, it was a wrap. It was a wrap. It was a kiss to baby. It was definitely a kiss to baby.
I mean, Trey's got to get that. Those quotes about him improving defensively this year make me think he's actually delusional.
Well, there was further. There was more into the article that he doesn't want to see the defensive statistics. He's not interested in them. That's because he probably knows deep down what they say.
That's like when I'm golfing and I'm playing terribly, and I'm like, I'm not even going to tally up my score.
You just don't want to
know. It's bad.
Yeah. Quote, this is part of the story. Quote, I don't know the numbers. I think I talked to you about that maybe a month or so. I don't know the actual numbers. I think Bobby tried telling me one day, and I said, I don't want to hear
it. That's don't show me.
Because I don't want
to
know.
That tells you all you need to know. That's a joke.
I don't want to know?
Are you kidding me?
I mean, he told you. He didn't want to know.
Yeah, well, I see it. I don't need to. I know, and I know you should move positions. That'll be one we talk about a lot this offseason. 215-592-9494.
Well, you know what they should do? If they're going to ask him to transition to left field, write his stats down on a piece of paper and freaking hand it to him when he sits down at the desk. Say, guess what, Trey? Like, you actually suck as a shortstop.
No, I mean,
just to let you know.
Sometimes hard conversations are important. Like, Trey,
suck is so strong,
we love you. We signed you. We believe in your bat for the next 9 years.
This is better for the team.
But right now, you're the worst defensive shortstop in the league. So either you're going to get way better this offseason, and we see it in spring training, or you're going to left field on opening day.
Like, that might hunt.
Maybe motivate him. Challenge him.
That might hunt.
Like, no one likes to be told they suck. And if you sit down and maybe not say it the way I say it, because I'm not.
You're being a realist.
Yeah, but maybe say it in a way where you are real with him, but also are professional. Like, right now,
you stink.
You're at the bottom of baseball defensively. We can't win a World Series this way. We need to improve here, or you need to change positions.
I think it would carry more weight if he hadn't already won one.
A World Series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't win anything here.
But he was younger.
No, but I'm just saying he's won one. I'm not saying
good
here. But he has
an all-star with the Phillies.
Here's the problem. He ain't that guy anymore.
No.
Hugh, it's like you and Jacksonville weren't the same guy you were here.
Why get pulled off into this thing?
Well, because you...
Why I got to...
Did you do anything
hold
for
on. At what point, all-pro, 15 and a half sacks.
No, I'm just saying,
in Jacksonville,
why
you weren't that guy?
Why we got to talk about my past?
Rookie of the year.
I consider myself a sports analyst.
Doesn't believe in defenses anymore.
I consider myself a sports analyst.
I mean, Trey's becoming a plant-based shortstop, if you really want to think of it.
It is true, yeah.
So, like, what is the worst thing that could possibly happen?
He can't go to the Hall of Fame. He ain't going to
Screw
Cooperstown.
That. I don't care. What's the worst thing that happens?
I know you don't care.
What's the consequences?
His legacy,
Screw his legacy. What's the what's the consequences if the Phillies sit him down and say, Trey, we're not asking you. We are telling you. You are no longer our shortstop, and we are going to operate this offseason as though we have an open spot in our infield.
What are the
what's he going to do?
You mean have that hard conversation?
He's here for 9 more years, a no trade clause.
And
guess what, dude? You have to.
Go ahead.
Have to. His contract's guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
it doesn't say in there shortstop. It says he's an employee of the
Phillies. No, but his contract's guaranteed.
Yeah, it's guaranteed.
So let me just let's workshop this a little bit, shall we? Okay, you try to force his hand and say you're moving to the outfield. Mm-hmm. He says no, and he goes home. Do those checks still come to his address?
No, not if he holds out. Not if he leaves. He's going to show up to work.
So
your checks come if you don't show up here?
I'm just asking. So, okay, another hypothetical. If he knows that. If he, say, for instance, he gets hurt or he gets the yips at shortstop. But then again, that might hurt his.
Gets the yips?
That might.
We're talking about.
Did you see that ball that was sent to right field?
Hey, Kyle, I didn't workshop that one good enough. Let me pull that one back because then that hurts his legacy.
Let's change that to improve.
Yeah, yeah. I hear what you're saying. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't think he would go quietly into the
night. Well, so what are the consequences?
I guess he could pout. He could go to the media, he could pout. He could ask for a trade, which I actually would welcome. Or I have the end game to all of this, okay?
What?
The end game is, you Trey, you do whatever you want in spring training. On opening day, when I write the lineup card out, it has left field next to your name. So you have no choice. It's left field,
yeah,
or you sit down, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't workshop that one good enough. But yeah, you might be.
Well, okay. Would Rob Thompson ever do that?
Would he?
No, he wouldn't.
Oh, we're coming back to Topper.
Well, look, that's how we started the show.
So you want to go? You want a hard ass
well,
in here?
Well, Joe, clearly this is an important piece of the Phillies next year, right? Like the future of Trey Turner at shortstop. So it's true.
Well,
I mean, this is a huge deal, is it not?
It is. It's a huge deal.
It is
a huge deal.
Okay.
I can't believe
where's my manager
came
with Stones?
215-592.
Let's get Joe Giglio
you
in
know,
there.
He's in left field tomorrow if I'm the manager. 215-592-9494. I would have taken Wheeler out after seven innings. You could fire me for that. And I probably would have went to Sanchez in the sixth inning of the night. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here.
Hold on. Wait, you would have taken, what did you say?
I would have taken Wheeler out after seven in game one.
Oh, okay. I thought you said after five. You're fired tomorrow.
No, I would have put Sanchez in sixth inning of game
four. We're coming and firing you.
First
day on the job,
done. How long would I last as Phillies manager?
A day.
Yeah, you wouldn't last that long. I think players would be mad at you because
you're missing it. I ripped the players after the game.
That's why WIP calls like that.
That guy gets it.
No, and that's why they would get you out of here because you would be ripping. You would be telling guys they stink, so you'd be saying stuff
you'd
like that.
You'd be like Angelo Cataldi's dream manager.
You're right. I would get fired, but the town would be in
the would
idea.
Love you. Yeah, but yeah, you wouldn't last long.
Yeah, no. How long would you last? You're plant-based.
I would be there a while. I'll play it. Especially if you gave me a lot of money. I'll play the game.
People would be blowing up these phone lines while Scott and LA are on the air.
Fire Douglas!
Douglas has got to
go. I'll be the Nick Sirianni of the Phillies.
Oh, God. All right, Luke is up. What's up, Luke?
Hey, calling from Nashville, Tennessee, here in Braves country.
We're just talking about Nashville and how progressive it's gotten over the last couple
of
years.
Yeah, I was talking about how many people are there now. Apparently, Hugh wants to build a
barndominium
in Nashville. What's up, Luke?
What?
It's all over the place, Kyle.
Fan base in America, and in a couple years when they get a team, Dave Dombrowski is going to be here, so you guys don't have to worry about that. But what I will say is that if we're signing blame, I sign it to the players, first of all. This was a bad matchup. Three left-handed pitchers in Peterson, Manaea, and Quintana, okay? This falls on four players, JT, Castellanos, Turner, and Bohm. Take Castellanos out of the picture. What did we get? Turner, nothing. Boom, nothing. JT, nothing. And I'm going to give Bryce Harper the player a pass, but I'm not going to give Bryce Harper the GM a pass. What I will say is that I would have signed Reese Hoskins because if you have Reese Hoskins in that lineup, that would have probably changed some of this.
Well, Luke, to your point on the lefties, I mean, you go back to 2022 when it was Schwarber hitting one, Hoskins hitting two, and Harper hitting three. Reese crushed lefties in that postseason, especially in that series against the San Diego Padres and Manaea, ironically, who was on the mound that night in game four. He was that guy in between that did the damage, and we didn't get that with Trey this time.
Don't you think he would have made a difference over Trey Turner?
He would have. Oh, of course he would have. He has better at-bats. I mean, there's no question.
And I would say I would have liked to have seen a guy like if you didn't, you know, have Hoskins, I would have seen a guy like Berger, the guy that plays third base for the Marlins. He started hitting really well after the All-Star break. This falls on our All-Stars, man. We had all these All-Stars at the beginning of the year. We were stealing bases. We were putting the ball on the plate. We were hitting home runs. And then you've got these relievers that just did not come. They just didn't show up. So I think for me, after that, it comes to the coaches. I would get rid of all the coaches. I would get rid of the hitting coach. I didn't even know we had a pitching coach because every time he goes out to the mound, he looks at JT, covers his mouth, asks JT, what do you want to talk about? And then JT takes over because that's what I'm seeing. So I don't need any more of Caleb Kaufman going out to the pitcher's mound. I don't need to see Long laughing it up, and I don't need to see any of that. Now, does Rob Thompson do some stuff that I don't really like? Yeah, like putting Weston Wilson at third base for a game. That doesn't make any sense. But would we go back to 2019? You know, were we in the playoffs 3 years in a row? No.
Nope.
I would not get rid of Rob Thompson. I would shake some things up. You're stuck with Trey Turner. That's what really bothers me.
and you made it sound like you were going for it, right? You signed Trey Turner. Oh, we're going for it. And then you don't bring anybody in at the trade deadline. Like those two guys from Oakland Athletics, you could have brought in a reliever that throws 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
You could have brought that DH to play left field. I would have put him in left field, or I would have put Schwarber in left field. I would have put Boehm at DH, because now you've got a young guy named Alec Boehm that's a DH. He is not a third baseman. That look in his face during the playoffs when he fielded those two balls, I haven't seen that since Little League.
It looked like Ben Simmons, Luke. I mean, it looked like Ben Simmons out there, where it's like a guy that's completely drained mentally. Luke, it's a good phone call. We appreciate it. Luke brought it. Ripping the right-handed hitters. I actually think Caleb Cotham's a good pitching coach. He's elevated to pitchers here. Christopher Sanchez, Strom, Hoffman. I'm okay with Caleb Cotham. I hope he stays.
Even Ranger had was trending toward having a career year this year.
I think he's helped a lot of guys go from nothing.
Yeah, but the unfortunate thing about the situation that we're in now is if you're going to do that, everybody got to go.
So the Kevin Long thing is interesting because we were talking about a shakeup, right? Make these guys uncomfortable. He's like they're all their personal guy. Right, they've all known Kevin Long from the Nationals days. All of them, Bryce Turner. He was still there when Schwarber was in Washington for a half a season. He's like their buddy. That would send a message to them.
With
like
a Washington connection too.
Soto. Can we keep Long through the Soto pursuit, and then if he says
and then fire him?
Out.
Fire him after we lure Soto here.
Yeah, or if he says no,
we then use him as bait.
That's right,
and then cut bait.
Are you going to lose any sleep if Kevin Long leaves?
No.
Neither am I. Maybe they're too comfortable with Kevin Long. He's been. It's the same voice they've had forever. Oh,
now that is a scapegoat.
Well,
for Thompson.
Maybe that's the position we're in right now. We talk about these hitters not changing. Well, it's the same voice, same hitting voice they've had.
I agree.
Harper's had the same guy for years.
Well, that's sort of what my point is. Like, it might be okay to scapegoat somebody here.
So we're searching for a scapegoat.
Like, we might need to.
You say, who's going to be the sacrificial bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
Because the opposite of the scapegoat is to, like, dig the root into the root of the problem. The root of the problem isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, so I think we've hit on something here. They have three options this offseason, Hugh, to generate this kind of excitement they want next year. Option one is John Middleton digs deep into his pockets and pays Juan Soto whatever he wants. That's option one.
Ton of bread.
I mean, like ridiculous $600 million bread, but he's probably worth it. Option two is sacrificial lamb.
Bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
Option three is they really do something drastic and they trade someone of the players they've paid a lot already. They get one of them up out of here. That's and to your point, you and Kyle, the easiest one is Topper. Right, yeah. That's the sacrificial lamb is the easiest one. Just press that button and make everyone excited. Let's go to the phone lines here. Sam in Meaty. Hey, Sam.
Hello.
Hey, Sam.
You had me laughing. I was rolling in my shoes. You're trying to tell a guy like Turner that's making $300 million, who was hired to be a shortstop, who wants to be the shortstop, to go out in left field when you can't even get your players not to swing at balls.
Yeah.
Yes.
He caught it.
The main problem here, without a doubt, and it's the same as basketball. Players making all of that money, they're not going to listen to a word you say.
Not a word.
What is the common denominator? They were this way last year. They were this way the year before. And the common denominator is, we know we have to change. Yeah, we know. You're going to tell me that a guy as nice as Topper is going to get them to do anything? Forget it. And you're going to tell them that a guy like Long, who is part of the Bryce Harper circle, is going to tell them that, no, it's not. They're all buddies, and they all think that they can do what they can do and that they do it best. Just like Turner thinks he does what he does best. Harper thinks that he does what he does best because the media tells him that. They tell him that he's the greatest, that he's, he walks on water. However, when there were two instances where he was supposed to drive in a run, he looked horrible. He looked terrible. He didn't deliver the goods. Now, if you want to call him a mediocre player or a guy that's making $15 million a year, okay. But when you elevate him to the level of being the superstar that he is, when you're comparing him to like Hank Aaron or Willie May, the greats of all greats, He's not delivering the goods, but no one is going to say it. And I think that hurts the team. I really believe it hurts the team quite a bit. And Topper, unfortunately, yeah, I can't put the blame on him for some of the bonehead decisions that he's made, because whoever's going to come in to be a manager is going to be up against the same problem. They're going to have to tell these guys that are making all this money what to do, and they're not going to listen to them. Nope. They didn't listen to Girardi. They're not listening to Topper, and they won't listen to the next guy coming in.
They might, Sam. I think a lot of what you said is right. They probably won't. I don't think the managers, if they switch the managers, Sam, we appreciate it, it's going to change anything besides just making people feel better for 10 minutes and like, yeah, we got a new manager. It's the same issues. As far as Harper goes, he has provided a lot in the postseason.
Like, yes.
We can't expect him to get the hit every time. That's not how baseball works. No great hitter hits 1,000 in the big spot. Unfortunately, in game three of the series, he had a big moment, Hugh. The game could have changed. He didn't get a big hit. He did it the home run in game two. I mean, there's...
How long does that last, though? Because people are starting, like, at some point, people are going to get tired of that, too.
At some point, if he doesn't win, he doesn't win. Like, that becomes his legacy.
Yeah, and he's getting a little bit older. He's getting a little longer in the tooth, man, and he's getting further and further away from that guy who, I mean, he still, and let me say this, he still has some good years in front of him.
Yeah, he does.
But he's starting to get further and further away from that guy that, you know, that he once was.
Are they, like, I know they feel old. Are they, like, that old? Like, how old's Nick Castellanos? He's going to be he's our oldest player, I think.
I think he'll be 33 next season.
33 is not like baseball players can hang for a while, man.
They can, but they usually fall off little by little as these years go on.
Well, so I guess, I don't know. We don't look at the Mets as necessarily like an older roster, but that's how they felt going into this year a little bit, right?
Yeah, roster in transition.
Yeah. But I mean, they had the Vientos call up, Alvarez. They're a little bit young, but like, I don't know. Sometimes you can squeeze that tube of toothpaste out a little bit more than you might think.
Well, maybe. And that, well, here's the issue sometimes, though. You don't know when the tube's going to be empty. Like, the 2012 Phillies thought they had another year of it, and then that thing fell apart really fast. I don't think the Phillies are going to fall apart next year, but are they all going to stay healthy and good for a full year again, or are we going to start seeing more of this, like, half a season from someone?
Well, you know what? They approached the offseason and the deadline as though they wanted to extend the window.
They did.
The window better be extended.
It better be. Otherwise, we'll just yell louder.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.